Welcome to Warrior Wisdom. In week two of the spring semester, in our Monday Bible study this spring, we are going through Ezra and Nehemiah, stories about the return of God's people from the Babylonian exile. Ezra will focus on rebuilding the temple, and then Nehemiah on rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. Last week, in Ezra 1 and 2, we were reminded that God has a plan for me and for us. God stirs our spirit with purpose. God provides for his plans, and God accomplishes his plans. And accordingly, last week we ended with Ezra 2:70. Now the priests, the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants lived in their towns, and all the rest of Israel in their towns. But as I said last week as we ended, sometimes this is when the real work starts. And Ezra 3:1 starts there. So Ezra 3:1 says, when the seventh month came, and the children of Israel were in their towns, the people gathered as one man to Jerusalem. The children of Israel were in their towns. Imagine for a second what this had to be and feel like. 70 years as exiles and slaves, and now I'm back home. We're not told this, so I can only use my imagination, but the desire had to be to stay, to rebuild our homes, to get things in order, to get back to the life I remembered. To get back to the life I dreamed about in exile, but instead, the people gathered as one man to Jerusalem. And this gets to our first point from Ezra 3. Remember the purpose. Remember the calling. Remember the stirring. Ezra 1:5, God stirred the spirit to rebuild God's house in Jerusalem. And then in Ezra 3:1, they gather as one man in Jerusalem to start the job. Don't let other things cause you to lose sight of God's stirring. Don't let comfort fool you. God stirred you. God called you to do this, to something specific. Remember your calling. Ezra 3, verses 2 through 6 continue, and they say this: then arose Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, with his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, with his kinsmen, and they built the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. They set the altar in its place, for fear was on them because of the people in the lands, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, burnt offerings morning and evening. And they kept the feast of the booths, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according to the rule, as each day required, and offered the regular burnt offerings, the offerings at the new moon, and all the appointed feasts of the Lord, and the offerings of everyone who made a freewill offering to the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple was not yet laid. And so our first point, remember our calling. Our second point is this: don't wait to get started. They built the altar to offer sacrifices. And from that day forward, from the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. They kept the feast. They kept the daily offerings. They kept the regular offerings. They began to worship God. And we can apply this a couple ways. First of all, just generally in our lives, don't wait to get started. Do what you can do. Go as far as you can currently see. Use what you have now. Don't wait to have it all to get started. Don't require God to show you the whole plan before you begin. Do what you can do. But we can also apply this spiritually. And it's put God, put worship first. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells three parables back to back to back at the end of the chapter about putting God's first. And I'm going to highlight one verse from each of those parables or each of those sections as we go down through this. And he starts by, don't lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, right? And it ends chapter 6, 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You will do what you treasure. It's a great thing to teach ourselves. It's a great thing to teach our children, right? It will, what you treasure will get your time, will get your energy, will get your attention, will get your money. What you treasure, you will do. The returned exiles showed where their treasure was by showing up as one in Jerusalem and by starting with the altar of God. So where your treasure is, there your heart is also. But then he moves into the second part of this parable and he just says this, no one can serve two masters. We can only have one true treasure. We can only love one thing the most. There's only one thing we can ultimately be devoted to. There's only one thing that can be first in our lives. We can fool ourselves into thinking we can have more, but Jesus says it very, very clearly. No one can serve two masters. And then he goes into another parable and comes to the end of it in chapter 6, verse 33, and simply says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What we treasure will get our time, attention, efforts, money. We can only serve one master. So what is that first thing in your life? And what Jesus comes down and says, hey, if you will make God first, if you will seek ye first the kingdom of God, the rest will be added. But if we seek all the other things, we will lose. God, what does it gain a man to get the whole world and to forfeit his soul? What is first in your life? Is it God? Maybe it's good things like your spouse, like children, like church, like work. They are great at being second, third, fourth, fifth, but they are terrible at being first. The exiles returned and sought God first. The question we all have to answer is, do I? Remember your calling. Don't wait to get started. And then there are three quick final points we'll make from Ezra 3 and Ezra 3, 6, and 7. Says this, from the first day of the seventh month, they begin to offer the burnt offerings to the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. So they gave money to the masons and the carpenters and food, drink, and oil to the Sidonians and the Tyrians to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa, according to the grant that they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. They started, but there was a long way to go. The starting is not the end. It is the beginning. Secondly, we have to, as we continue to do this, right? We get started, and then we make a plan and execute that plan to finish the job. We get started, and we keep planning. We keep providing for the finish. That yes, they built the altar to God. Yes, they put God first and began to offer the sacrifices and the worship of God. But it tells us, but the foundation of the temple was not yet laid. There was still work to do. The beginning is not the end. The start is not the ultimate goal. Get started and then make and execute a plan to finish. And then when you, as you make and execute that plan, do the right thing. Do the next right thing. Chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says this. Now in the second year, after their coming to the home to coming to the house of God at Jerusalem in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, made a beginning together with the rest of the kinsmen. They appointed Levites to work at the house of the Lord. They appointed workers and together supervised the workers in the house of God. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple, right? Remember your calling. Remember the purpose. Put first things first, right? Get started. Don't wait to start. Make and execute a plan and then do the next right thing. Keep going. They made a beginning of phase two, if we want to call it that. They established roles. They established assignments. They put together metrics. They got together goals and they laid the foundation of the temple. So what is the next right thing for you? What's the next thing for you to do in your plan? What's the next step you should take? What is phase two of whatever it is God has you called to do? And in the last point, verse 11, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Celebrate the victories along the way. Don't wait to get started, and don't wait to the end to celebrate. Celebrate the victories along the way. There are two things I know I'm not good at. If you ask my family, that list I'm sure would grow a lot bigger. One is goodbyes, so I just avoid them. And one is celebrating, right? I just move on to what's next. I'm just like, all right, that's awesome. We're finished. What's next? It's even, you know, as you read a book, as I'm reading a book, you know, and I'm getting to the last chapters, oftentimes I find myself rushing through the last chapters because I'm ready to figure out what's the next book I'm going to read. And so we have these patterns in our life, but it is okay to stop. It is okay to sit down and say, wow. It is okay to say, thank you. It is okay to praise God for what he's done in the victories that he's given us to this point. They celebrated. What is a victory for you that you need to stop and celebrate? Because the truth is, sometimes victories are hard to come by. And we'll see that as we turn to Ezra 4 next week. Let's pray. God, help us to remember our calling. God, help us to put you first in all things in our lives. Help us to get started in following our callings by putting you first. Help us to understand that we have a plan and we can execute that plan and we can do the next right things in our lives. And God, as you bring victories to us, help us to stop and say, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. For you are good. And your steadfast love endures forever. Amen.